What's up, fellow travelers? Welcome to Traversing the Stars. I am JD Ross, broadcasting from the mothership. We have a special guest today. We have an actress who's making her very first podcast appearance today. So I am excited as hell to welcome Georgia Goodman. Georgia, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. Thank you for the introduction. That sounds great.
Absolutely.
Yes. Please be kind. Yes, it is my first time.
But we always have a good time here on TTS, so it's all good. So, yeah. So welcome to your first podcast appearance.
Thank you. Thanks for interviewing me. I mean, I have been watching your interviews with some other people that I do know. Lucy Russell, you did recently.
Yep.
All the wonderful cast and director from The Infernal Machine. So yeah, it's been really great.
Awesome.
Watching you.
Well, let's back up just a little bit. So tell everybody about how you got started. You're obviously you're an actress, but I read, you know, I was reading through your information, you know, like grew up in a lot of different places, it seemed, you know, moved around a lot as a kid. So how'd you end up in London? How'd you end up in acting?
Wow. Okay. So I was born in, no, I'm just kidding. my upbringing is definitely very international. My father used to be a diplomat. And so from the day I was born, we pretty much traveled everywhere. I always like to make a joke and say that I was made in Taiwan. My brother was made in Japan. yes, we were very fortunate. Well, I was very fortunate, you know, traveling around with my parents. And just to get back to your question, how did I get into acting? I think it was when I was in high school in Vancouver, actually, British Columbia. And I happened to be in the high school where they were filming 21 Jump Street.
Nice.
You know, I know that tells you how old I am, but I'm not going to tell you how old I am. You're just going to have to guess.
Well, okay. Is that the movie or the show?
The show, the original show with Johnny Depp.
Okay. So the original. Okay.
Yeah. So, I was in the high school, Point Grey Secondary High, just in case anybody was watching from there. Yeah, and I guess I just kind of found out that way, really. I didn't realize that Vancouver is pretty much almost like the second LA, isn't it? There's so many shows are shot there. I mean, at the time,
what's going on there? Yeah.
Yeah, at the time it was MacGyver and 21 Jump Street, which were huge, and then there was Booker, and then after that it was like X Files. I mean, Vancouver.
I didn't know that was done up there.
Yeah, the X-Files. Cool. Yeah. Oh, you do not know that.
I should have.
Yeah. it was shot there. I'm not going to say 100%, so don't, you know, quote me on that, but I know that the majority was shot in Vancouver.
Okay.
It's just because Vancouver is great in that, you know, parts of downtown, there's massive Chinatown as well, there's the mountains if you want to go there, there's the forest and a lot of Native American history and heritage. There's pretty much everything, and so, you know, it could look like anywhere, really. So Vancouver is where I kind of discovered acting, but, you know, I came from a very traditional family, so acting was not in our vocabulary. So after I graduated from high school, I had to go and learn a proper skill.
Which skill was that?
Well, I mean, not that I'm using it at the moment, but I then went to university in France and I studied economics applied to foreign languages.
Okay.
And which then brought me to London, where I was supposed to do an MBA. But, you know, when you're no longer living with your parents, you know, you're kind of free to do whatever. And so the MBA kind of very quickly fell on the wayside.
Yeah.
And I went back to being creative. And so
that's the way to be.
I took up acting again then. Did I answer all your questions? Was there a second question there? You asked me how I got into
acting. Yeah. Well, yeah. Like I said, it's just a super laid back. So it goes where it goes.
Yeah,
sometimes they go off the on the rails a little bit, and I'm okay with that.
that's how I ended up in London, and I've been in London now for over 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm a Londoner.
I love it. Yeah, London, I think, is always going to kind of have a special, as far as like my love for movies go, because I know that my favorite movie, Aliens, was filmed there. So, you know, love London, plus love, you know, the lot of British heavy metal bands. Gotta love London. I've never gotten there myself, but I really want to go at some point.
Oh, yeah, you should come. You should come. You should come with a lot of money because it's very expensive.
Yeah, the cooler places tend to be, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. But no, London is cool. I mean, obviously, I've been here for 20 years. I can't seem to leave, so.
I love it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, and there's, you know, same as Vancouver, there's so much that's shooting in London. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, and I think The Eternals was shot here. You know that latest
movie?
Again, yeah. Don't quote me on that. But I think it was shot here. Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, was shot here. So yeah, there's quite a lot happening down here.
That's pretty exciting. Now, do they still have the rule that I heard about this only because of Aliens, where there's like a mandatory tea time, like during the movies, like during shooting?
Mandatory? No.
Okay, because like that was apparently like an issue that James Cameron had was like every day at a certain time. Some little old lady would roll in with a cart of tea and like the entire production would just stop and he'd be like, where the fuck is everybody? Like, what's going on?
Oh my god, I have never heard that. That is amazing. Do you know what, I'm gonna ask that on my next set.
You should.
I don't. Yeah, no, it's, well, it's never happened to me is all I'm gonna say. So
you need to go in there and demand it.
You know, when you're on the clock, it's really difficult to do that, but that is extraordinary. God, that would, I mean, I guess that would be kind of nice having like a 4 o'clock kind of snack time, you know, tea and coffee and biscuits.
I do myself. I do a tea every afternoon. So, you know, do like a coffee in the morning, tea in the afternoon. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask that. Yeah. I've never heard of that. That's extraordinary.
I think you should. I think you should see if you can get that going again. If they stop doing that, you should get that going again.
Oh, I'll blame it all on you, really.
I'm cool with that. Yeah, I'll take the blame for that. That's fine. So I was reading through, like I said, reading through your bio and all that. And so you worked at a radio station at one point, and you got James Brown to do a jingle that they still use.
A jingle. Today. Yeah, it was when I was in university in France, because I'm perfectly bilingual. So whenever there were international performers passing through Bordeaux, which is where I did my university, they would ask me to go and interview, and it wasn't for a French radio channel. It was called Afrique. I'm gonna give my French now. Africa Africa number one. It did use number one.
Yeah.
So it was an African radio channel. And yeah, I remember that night. I mean, James Brown, extraordinary, but he made us wait, all of us kind of like journalists or interviewers. He made us wait a long time. And we could hear him and his background singers. I don't know if you've ever heard, they would always kind of like sing kind of like gospel songs and stuff like that. And so we could hear them and we were all stood there. It was like, well, you know, where is he? You know, he's supposed to be here. And then when he came out, it was like a whirlwind. And I think because I was probably the only one who had maybe heard kind of like an American accent.
Yeah.
He kind of zoned in on me. And then I was just like, okay, could you do a jingle for the radio station, Africa number one? And he did it. And that station just played that jingle for so many years.
Oh, I bet. I mean, yeah, like you got a living legend at the time, like recording a jingle for you. So how intense was that? Like, were you nervous when that happened or?
Yes, I was. I was really, really nervous because I was like little old me with all these journalists. And I'm just like, okay, well, I'll just use my English and just, you know, ask your questions. And yeah, I think maybe he zeroed in on me. And yeah, I mean, everyone was, you could feel that everyone else had a lot more experience, you know, maybe they were slightly older, they would look maybe jaded, and here I was, the little girl.
Still going, like kind of like bright eyed and like looking towards the future with everything.
I know. But it was great. I just wish I had a picture.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I know. It's those kind of things. Did you read that on IMDb?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking, should that go there? Because it's the kind of thing, unless you have a picture to prove it, will people believe it?
Well, you know, it kind of becomes part of the mythos a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the jingle, I think, I'm pretty sure is still being played.
Yeah.
At the radio station. But yeah, I've always wondered whether I should take that off because
No. You should absolutely leave that there because you know here's the thing. I've got at least one story of meeting somebody famous that I tell to this day. I don't have proof. I may have a picture but I don't know where it is. But no, it still happened and I know it happened. So no, you got to keep that on there because that's awesome.
Okay, well now you need to share your story. What's that story that you keep telling everyone and you haven't told me yet?
I haven't told it on the podcast yet. So I think that's a good time for it. So all right, so there's a band out of Atlanta, Georgia called Seven Dust. You ever hear of them?
Seven Dust, no. What
heavy kind of metal band. They were kind of big, like, you know, like in the early 2000s. They had a couple hits, but like, yeah, it's, you know, they are what they are. But so went there with my best friend and we were kind of waiting around. We had this habit of waiting around after the show to meet people. And the singer, we're just waiting around talking. And so my friend doesn't like Star Wars. And that's what I said. That's what I'm like, dude, you're wrong.
Oh, I would
like,
unfriend him immediately.
I found out like when we were like too far along in the friendship. So it's like, I can't get rid of him now, but no matter what, it is what it is. But
yeah,
so we're talking. Lejon Witherspoon is the singer and he's got kind of a mystical vibe to him. Like he's got a very kind of like, the part he plays is very like deep and kind of spiritual and, you know, kind of like moves like this, you know, kind of stuff. And so we're talking and he's like, I bet you Lejon hasn't seen Star Wars. I was like, dude, I know that he's seen Star Wars. There's no way he hasn't seen Star Wars. Like, you're wrong for not like at the time he hadn't seen it. And so we're just arguing. We're like, okay, ask him then. And I'm like, I will. And he didn't believe me. So Lejon comes out, nicest guy in the world. We're talking, we're hanging out, and he's like kind of talking to us. And I'm like, Lejon, great show, big fan. Got a question for you. It's a little bit strange. He looks at me, he's like I said, super spiritual. He's like, there's no such thing as a strange question, my brother. Like, you know, kind of like that kind of stuff. I was like, have you seen Star Wars? He immediately broke character and just like lit up. Like, have I seen Star Wars? And he starts talking about how much he loves Star Wars. Meanwhile, my friend like, fuck. And he pulls out his phone and he goes, look what I even have this. He pulls out the lightsaber app. This was way back in the day when apps were still a thing. He's got the Mace Windu lightsaber.
Oh my God.
And starts kind of whipping it around at me. And then he kind of realizes he was totally out of character. And then he just sort of puts the phone away and just slides back into character. He goes, yeah, I've seen Star Wars. And I'm like, and you know, he got on that bus. He was like, you guys want to watch Star Wars?
God.
Some fat dude out there was asking if I've seen Star Wars.
Oh my God. That's amazing. So you had like backstage passes and everything?
We would just hang out by the buses. I've met a lot of people that way, actually.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah. Oh my God. I love that story.
Yeah. It was so much fun. Brilliant.
Oh my God. And what did your friend eventually cave in and watch Star Wars?
He's seen it, but he will say to this day that he doesn't like it. That's what I said. Like, you're wrong.
No taste.
Exactly. Wrong. But it is what it is. Like I said.
Hang on. Actually, it depends. What year was this?
Was it
the remake of the Star Wars, you know, the prequels or whatever?
I think Attack of the Clones had come out, but he had been harping on the original trilogy.
Yeah, okay. All right. I was going to say, you've got to watch the originals. I mean,
they're so much better. Yeah, honestly, I think the prequel trilogy has aged a little bit, but like the newest trilogy, I just didn't care for.
Brilliant.
I like the original by far.
yeah Do you know what I got myself? I still believe that is the reason why I got it. I got this a massive you know, Febreze commercial. It's hilarious. Do you watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think you're like legally required to in the US. Okay. So, yeah.
Anyway, do you remember the year where at the Super Bowl, when did I shoot it? I think it was about 3-4 years ago, where there was a Febreze advert about going to the loo at halftime.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, that was Febreze.
That's awesome.
And so I was in that advert. It was hilarious. So when I went to the recall, which is kind of like the second audition, and the clients were there, I literally, swear to God, went, you know, and I brought out my invisible lightsaber.
Yeah.
And I was pretending to, because the role that I went for was kind of like, originally it was like the mother to this teenager.
Yeah.
And so I was supposed to, I don't know, fight some invisible whatever. And I literally just went, you know, like the sounds that you do.
Yeah.
And I think maybe they didn't expect that from me. Anyway, I got the job.
That's but awesome.
It was hilarious. It was the first time that I just went, oh, let's just go all geek here. And I used my invisible lightsaber to get myself a job. So
sometimes,
Star Wars saves the day.
Sometimes you just got to lean into the geeky. You got to lean into the nerdy. Exactly. And just like, it sounds like, you were just like, you know what? I'm doing it. And then you went for it. Like, that is awesome. Because you know nobody else did that. Like, everybody else there played it totally straight and totally probably boring. And that's why you got the job. That's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm a Trekkie as well.
I love Star Trek. Now, which one do you prefer, Star Trek or Star Wars? I ask every nerd that question, like when it comes to those two.
They're different though. They're different.
Yeah.
Star Wars? Mm. Yeah, Star Wars.
Yes.
I think only because I just recently watched The Mandalorian and I'm currently watching Boba Fett. So yeah. I think maybe that's why I've got Star Wars on the brain at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I think Star Wars hits like more of like the space Western thing. So like, you know, like if you're feeling something grittier or even like, you know, if like focus on the Force stuff, you know, like something a little bit more kind of mystical and samurai and kind of more out there. I think that's the way to go. But if you're feeling something if you're feeling, I think hopeful, Star Trek will hit more.
Yes, that's true. Star Trek is, yes, that's true. You're right, actually.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just mentioned kind of like Western style.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of Firefly?
I love Firefly.
I love you. I love you. I love Firefly.
Yes.
I have the box DVD of the only season that
is. So do I, but it says the complete series.
I know. Well. Yeah, I know. I love Firefly. That was an amazing concept, wasn't it?
It was.
You know, sci-fi and Western, and then everyone speaking Chinese when they were swearing. That was amazing.
That was a really good way to get around everything. Now, what did you think of Serenity? What did you think of the movie?
Did not like it.
I didn't hate it, but I am still not over Wash.
Remind me. Oh, Wash. Yeah.
I am a fly, or I am a leaf on the wind. Oh.
I know that it was a state. It was. I guess Joss Whedon did Serenity because they had canceled Firefly and got all the cast back. But
it was kind of like his hand was kind of forced. Like it was like a situation of like. Because, like, I think he wanted to keep the show going, but, like, nobody would pick it up and, you know, for a second season. And they still talk about, like, whoa, we'll get a second season. It's, like, it's literally 22 years later. Like, it's not going to happen.
I know.
But I think that was kind of his only option with that. It was, like, okay, I've got to tie this up in some way. So,
yeah.
I feel like his hand was forced, but the show itself was so good.
It was so good. I loved it. Okay. I don't know if Nathan Fillion is listening to this. I know that he's from Vancouver, actually.
Yeah.
Talk about Vancouver. But can I just say, I was telling everybody, I am the future Mrs. Fillion. Just everybody knows.
So Nathan, if you're listening, you're invited on the show and your future wife is here.
Call me. I'm in London. I mean, it was, the characters were great. I mean, it was, I just loved the show.
So which one was your favorite character?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I was trying to remember everybody's name. I actually like the mechanic.
Jewel State played, or what was her name? Why am I... Kaylee.
Jewel. Kaylee, yes. But I haven't seen her in a lot of stuff lately. Has she done a lot after Fargo?
Last I saw, because I follow her on Facebook, and I haven't seen much from her either. Last I saw, she had started like a tea company. Like, I don't know why we keep ending up back at tea. I didn't plan that, but I think she started a tea company. I'm not sure if she's doing much acting at the moment.
That's interesting. Tea? Yeah. Oh, wow. I always find it amazing. I heard the other day that, is it Tobey Maguire? He pretty much has stopped acting, but now he's like a professional poker player. Is that right?
Oh, wow. I don't know. How does one become a professional poker player?
Can I just say, I did meet one. He's actually Swedish. He's actually an actor. And he said, I asked him, I said, what do you do for a living in between jobs? And he's like, oh, no, I'm a professional poker player. I'm like, what? And he said he basically taught himself like different strategies and all of that. And then he literally makes his money playing poker.
Wow.
Online or wherever. I know. But it's the same thing as, you know, the question of how do you become a professional gamer?
Yes.
And you know, I never heard of it. And then there was a documentary here in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fascinated. I mean, they are trained like athletes.
Oh, yeah.
They have mental coaches, physical coaches, and then they basically get paid to play games.
Yeah. And then there's also like Twitch. I mean, like, you know, you can go on there and like basically like, you know, it build up a following, you know, basically just like any other content creator. So honestly, that gives me hope for me because, you know, the podcast can make money at some point, make, you know, careers for people. Yeah, so it's for all the bad in the world anymore. I mean, there is a lot of really good. I mean, like, who'd have thought even 20 years ago that professional video game players would be a thing?
I know all the parents who forbade their children to play games. Now the children are going, see what could have become? Yeah.
Yep.
Now, I could have bought you a mansion by
exactly,
now.
Exactly. I don't know if I'd want to do it professionally though. I like playing games, but like that's like, it's the same reason why I don't have Arnold Schwarzenegger's body. I'm not willing to go in the gym for 8 hours a day. So I'm also just like not really willing to play video games for 8 hours a day either.
I think it's easy. I think you need to have kind of like a little bit of an addictive streak.
Yeah.
I mean, I found out in lockdown that I do have a little bit of an addictive streak.
Yeah.
Like, I do play some games online, but not like the heavy duty, you know, Call of Duty or whatever it was, you know, just kind of like games online.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do find myself looking at my watch going, oh, sugar, I've been here.
Oh, no, you can say shit. It's all good.
Oh, shit, I've been here for 3 hours. I really should go to bed right now. Or like binge watching some shows and not being able to just press the stop button before Netflix plays the next episode.
And it goes so quick, too.
I know.
They do so, that shit on purpose.
And, you know, I do understand why some gamers can really lose themselves in the game. Have you ever tried the VR, the virtual reality thing?
I have not gotten to do a lot of that, but the little bit that I've done, like, oh my God, I could get addicted to that.
See, I mean, it's the first time I got this virtual reality thing. There was this exhibition last year on Van Gogh, the painter.
Yes.
Immersive. I don't know. If you Google it, you'll see there's immersive tour.
Yeah, there's Van Gogh. One of the museums, like not far from me, is doing one of those. I really want to go to that.
Go. I mean, I decided that I was going to treat myself and a friend, and I got like the most expensive ticket, which included the virtual reality room where basically you were walking through his paintings.
Oh, that is so
cool. God, it was the most amazing and freaky thing. I mean,
yeah.
I know that we were just sat on a chair and we had the VR thing.
Yeah.
And my friend was next to me and we kept talking to each other because, and we were like, I could just feel my neck kind of like looking everywhere because I was looking at all, I mean, it was amazing how I have no idea how long it took them to do it, but it was gorgeous and it was amazing. And as soon as we finished, I immediately wanted to get back in.
Yeah.
Into that world.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do it because my friend got seasick because of I guess the like he didn't do it, and so I just thought, damn it, I can't go back in.
Yeah,
but it was that immediate sense of as soon as it's finished, I just went, I want to go back in.
Yeah, Plug me back in.
That was a little bit scary. And that's when I realized, I was like, that's how maybe you get these players who play for so long that mm-hmm. maybe they blur reality and that kind of world. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit scary, I have to say.
That is. And yeah, like we're going to be going further and further towards that kind of stuff. So it's kind of scary to think of what kind of sci-fi world we're going to end up actually living in.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be far from WALL-E, the world of WALL-E.
That's true.
Have you watched the animation?
I love WALL-E. WALL-E was awesome.
I know, it's great. Yeah. But you know, when he's on the ship and then everyone is in their individual kind of like floating chairs watching TV,
mm-hmm.
I swear to you, that's what's happening at the moment. When I take the underground, the tube.
Yeah.
I always have my music on.
Yeah.
But I see everybody in front of their screens.
Yep.
It's scary how close to WALL-E's world we are already.
Yeah. And I'm guilty of that too. I do the same thing. I mean, I'll be just like all day long, just staring into my phone.
That's why I forced myself to, now I just listen to music, because mm-hmm. it just forces me to lift my head up and just watch the world.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit scary. It's a little bit sad that we don't talk to each other anymore.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, that kind of went from a dip from Alien and up there, Firefly, to sadness in the world.
Just like depression and
I know.
Let's get back on track. Yeah. So tell us about working on the Infernal Machine. How was the experience with that? And
you know what? That was amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm so lucky that I got the job, because, you know, it was in the middle of the pandemic mm-hmm. and I just thought, I need a holiday.
Yeah.
In my head, I was like, I will pay to be in that film if that's what it takes, because I just need a holiday and I need an excuse to be going away. Because I think at the time, I think travel was still a little bit restricted. I'm not sure. But
it was like that time of there was like that time where like nobody knew what even was going on. Like can we travel? Should we travel? Nobody knows.
Yeah, exactly. And I got the audition. Mm-hmm. I think what really helped as well was that they also were looking for people who had European passports,
mm-hmm.
again, because of the travel and because I have a French passport. That made it easy. I had a French passport, but I had an American accent. So it was just easy for me to kind of shoo in. The original role that I went for was that of a detective. I think you interviewed her. She played one of the I forgot the name. Oh my god, my memory's so bad. So I went for the detective role originally, mm-hmm. and then Andrew had me read different other roles, and then mm-hmm. I was offered a smaller role. You know, like I say, there are no small roles, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm going on a holiday, and so
that's a good way to look at it.
I know. And I went there 1 week early. I'm like, I am going to go on the beach before I go shooting. I booked myself my own hotel. Great hotel. It was my first time in Portugal as well.
Mm-hmm.
I really lucked out on the hotel and the location. And it was just bliss. And then I remember when the day of the shoot, well, I don't know if I want to talk about wardrobe. Yeah, the day before, you know, wardrobe fitting, that was when I met everyone in person as opposed to virtually. I met Guy there, I met mm-hmm. the wardrobe team, which were amazing. It was just a really nice atmosphere. Everybody was happy to be there.
Yeah.
Everybody was just really looking forward to doing a film, you know. Yes, it was COVID, but we were all really careful as well. So
yeah.
And I think that was it was before vaccination. Was vaccination already done by then? I can't remember now.
It's all like the last 3 years is just a total blur anymore.
I know. And then the shoot itself, they found this amazing location that uh-huh. and they made it look like, I mean, it was Mexico or like, you know, a little American cafe in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
I mean, Portugal, well, the Algarve, which is where it was shot, was just beautiful and amazing. Ooh, don't destroy your equipment.
All good.
I played the waitress Francesca, who basically I'm serving Guy's character.
Mm-hmm.
I think that moment in the film was quite not pivotal. Was it not pivotal, but it was an important one in the film because he, that was when he was going to meet. Oh, am I supposed to tell you the story?
Spoiler. No. You know what? Spoilers ahead, everybody.
Spoilers. No, I am not going to tell you anything. Otherwise,
everybody, everybody at home knows. No, when, we're not going to do spoilers. Anyway, check it out. Everybody, check it out.
I was basically serving Guy's character, and Guy was amazing to work with. I have to say, a real champ. He was really great. It was so laid back. Amazingly laid back.
The vibe I've gotten is that it was like a good time and it was like super laid back. And like, apparently that's not the norm on a movie set.
Maybe I've been lucky.
Well, that's good. I've heard, you know, like a couple horror stories, you know, like kind of more intense shoots and, you know.
Maybe I haven't been on an intense shoot then.
Hey.
Or maybe I haven't had to carry, you know, the responsibility of maybe either being, you know, the first three on a call sheet. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've always had really great. I mean, yeah, no, I mean, I've never had any bad experiences. So
that's awesome. That's nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah. I mean, touch wood. That doesn't happen again. That happened. Sorry. At all. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was a fantastic shoot. It went really, really well. And then after the shoot, I remained a few more days on holiday. And then it coincided with me auditioning for a role on Uncharted. And because I was already in Europe, it was just an easy flight to Spain, which is where it was shot. And again, I extended my holiday.
Yeah.
So I had another week. A holiday in Spain, which was great, in Barcelona, having been not Barcelona, Madrid. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting. And it was just, that's when I believe in serendipity, coincidence, mm-hmm. whatever it is that you want to mention. Because I had auditioned for Uncharted before I left for Portugal, but mm-hmm. we hadn't heard. And so maybe I was being optimistic because I did pack for being away for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. And then it just happened, which was great. My agent was amazing in getting all the production companies to agree on, you know, are you booking her flight from there to there? And then are you covering her hotel from there? And then between LA time, you know, because obviously LA is about 9 hours behind us. So, which means that my poor agent works so hard. She stays up until, you know, 11 p.m. midnight just to deal with the LA office. She was amazing.
That's awesome. Well, it sounds like if you just put it out there, I mean, like you were planning for success with that and look what happened. That's awesome.
No, it was great. It was great. I mean, now I just hope that I survive the cutting room floor is all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
You know, I have no control over that. And so, yeah, because I did love my character on Uncharted and I saw the trailer, come out and I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's an amazing game. A friend of mine told me that he was so jealous when he saw that I was on Uncharted. He was like, I love that game so much.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's funny too, cause like, I feel like this is going to be a hit, but like, you know, video game movies don't always translate super well, but I feel like this is one that will.
The trailer looks great.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Tom Holland's the lead in that, right?
Do you know what? I was about to tell you. So not that I had a scene with Tom Holland or anything, but, you know, we kind of crossed when I think he was going to set and I was going back to my trailer.
Yeah.
We didn't really exchange, you know, highs or anything. But can I just say that young man has star power is all I'm going to say.
He
really does have star power. In person, he's just got such a presence.
That's awesome.
Pretty amazing. Yeah.
He's actually been my favorite Spider-Man.
He's been great. Yeah. He's been a really good Spider-Man, actually. Yeah.
I think he hit the role like closer than the other two. That's my thought, but
I never saw the ones with Andrew Garfield.
They were okay.
Yeah, I've seen the ones with Tobey Maguire, not Andrew Garfield. And I've seen a couple with Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, he was, I remember I almost did like a double take because, he really has a lot of star power. Nice. That man, that young man's gonna go far.
He's going places.
He needed my permission. I mean, he's already gone far. So, yeah.
Well, I hope he keeps going that way. I hope he keeps going further and further.
Yeah, he's very talented. Yeah, I'm looking for. I don't even. How old is he? Do you know?
Oh, he's definitely like mid 20s tops.
Oh God, I hate him.
Some people just hit it big or early.
He hasn't even like. He's gonna go so far.
I think he's got a lot of potential to really.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely. Well, this has been fantastic. So, where can everybody find you?
I guess Instagram.
Okay.
Georgia Goodman at Georgia Goodman. My what's it called? My Twitter is at G Goodman Actress, and. IMDb. Sorry, I don't know what to say.
I should have told you about that. I always give everybody a chance at the end to kind of drop where they can find them.
You can find me on this podcast.
That's true. Like exclusively on this podcast. So for the time being,
I think my cherry with you.
Yes, I think this will be the first of many, though. But how did you feel about it?
I think it was great. God, I didn't realize that you were a fellow geek, so I was ready to geek out about all these films. It's great. I love talking movies. I'm really passionate about this industry.
So do I. I've always had a massive love for Hollywood. So yeah, it's like we cover kind of all over the entertainment spectrum, but like movies definitely have a special place in my heart.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
We're twinsies.
Exactly. Friends. Well, hey, you are invited back on anytime you want. Next time you any big announcements or just want to come on and talk geeky shit with us, you are invited back.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I'm really grateful.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.